Father, we come to you, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity today to come and receive from you. We know this is a divine appointment. You've drawn us here. And we can sense your spirit is here. You said where two or three are gathered in your name, you are in the midst of it. So there's no doubt you are here. Now, God, I know you don't send the Holy Spirit anywhere just to do nothing. Every time he shows up, he is here to do something. And so, God, I thank you, God, that he is here to teach us, lead us, guide us, bring us into all truth, to comprehend this word so we can use it for every part of our lives, so it affects everything that we're about. And so, God, I ask you today that you do just that, and I give you glory. That is happening. I believe it's happening in the lives of these people. Make us like sponges ready to be able to soak up what you say. Let us not see the man standing here pronouncing the words, but let us receive in our spirit the words that will change our lives because they're coming from you. And we will give you all the glory for the victory that we receive through this word in Jesus' name. And God, we thank you that you gave us authority. We're not princes. You are king, and we're kings. We're small case, large case is your case. So God, we know there's a prince in the power of the air, Satan, Lucifer, the adversary, the devil. And we take authority over him right now. Your word says in Matthew, and in Mark, that he comes immediately to steal the word, so we cancel that assignment. You're canceled. You are canceled, Satan. You cannot steal this word. This word is going into good ground to bring forth great fruit in abundance. And while I'm at it, I just want to remind you, you're going to the lake of fire. You will spend eternity there. There is no remedy for you. There is no Savior coming for you. So you might as well get out of our way in Jesus' name. I take authority over you because I have authority over you. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So you're done with. You can go somewhere else. It won't work here. We thank you, Father, for what will happen in the lives of these people. In Jesus' name, we declare it done. I decree a thing and call it done. In Jesus' name, we said, amen. All right, you may be seated. Give somebody a high five as go to your seat, okay? Just let them know. We team Jesus. I had promised a book to a young lady sitting right there in the second row. I told you, aren't you the one that I said you need? I mentioned that. Was you the one? Who was that? Your sister. You look just like your sister, girl. You better change that hairdo so I know who you are. I tell you, hope y'all got the bun on the top, you know. Can you give, is she here? Is she here? She did get one. Okay, bookstore lady says she got one. This is Take Control of Your Thoughts. Now that's my copy. Okay. All right, do we have any first-time visitors here? First-time visitors, is your very first time at Pacific Christian Center? If so, oh, come on, stand up. Let's say hello to these folks. Stand up, please. We want to recognize you as our first-time visitors. Come on, folks. We can do better than that. You are counted as answers to prayer. We have been praying that God would bring I'm looking at this, bring people from the north, the south, east, and the west. That's four different areas, and there's four different people that I'm talking to right here. So I want to welcome you to Pacific Christian Center. I'm the founding pastor, Pastor Donald Shorter Sr. My wife, Kathy, and I married 51 years together. We love to be able to see you come and be part of this congregation. My son, Don Shorter Jr., is also pastor here at Pacific Christian Center. And we have a wonderful group of people that want to be able to pray for you and just intercede for your life and see great things happen in your life. Now, we handed you a card. I want you to fill out that card. And on the back of it, it does give you an opportunity to express any prayer requests that you desire. Don't play with that. That's real. Because we've seen people right on the back of there for family, for marriage, for, you know, going through all kinds of situations, finances, health, all kinds of things. And God answers prayer. We believe that. It does happen. I don't care what the politicians say. Prayer does work, okay? So we all know that, and they need prayer themselves. So what we want to do is we want to make sure that you're feeling welcome. So we're going to take our time right now to be able to come around and shake your hand. I do want to deliver the word. I will do so. But we want to make sure that we welcome our first-time visitors. Can we do that? Congregation, let's welcome our first-time visitors that are here today for the very first time. Praise God that they are here in Jesus' name. All right. All right, Praise God. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're going to bypass our welcome song this time because of time, but we want to welcome you. We'll give you a welcome song with some other folks another day. All right. Open your Bibles, please. Go with me, please, in your Bibles, and let's take a look at a couple of places. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, first of all. I have been teaching on the subject, which is, what do I owe thee? Now, this is going to take a long time to get through because God is a big God. And you owe him a whole lot because he's done a whole lot for you. You know, for some reason, Lord keeps bringing these people up that's cussing his name. If you are cursing God's name, I mean, you don't even believe in God. Do you know you still owe God? That's like you going to buy a car and then you act like you never got the bill to pay the payment. That's not a good thing to do. They're going to, one day they're going to jack that car up. They're going to put that car on a little ramp and they're going to drive off with it. And ain't nothing you can do because you owe them. Now, God ain't that violent. He's not that drastic. He hasn't jacked you up yet. He lets us go. I don't want to say worse things, but one of the sad things about the nature of God is that he's so merciful, almost to his detriment, that it causes people to just keep going, saying, I didn't die yet. Ain't nothing happened. My transmission didn't fall out. I don't do this anymore, but I used to. My wife will remember, and some of the congregation members here, Deacon Simpson, been here 30-something years, they'll remember, I used to pray for those wheels fall. It worked too. I used to pray, God, if they ain't gonna serve you, have the transmission fall out as they drive by the church. Have the wheels fall off as they drive by the freeway by the church. Have them come home and their clothes is on the front door and the suitcase. I have really mellowed in all these years. But it worked. It worked for a whole lot of folks. I was drastic. I was like, God, if they're not going to cooperate with you, why would you keep helping them? But see how I've mellowed? See how God, your prayers have worked. That's showing us a little more calm. But really, truly, we owe God a whole lot. Much is given, much is required. Now, I look over this congregation, I see people with much. Now, it may not be much to others, but it's much to you where you came from. Where you came from, it's a whole lot. I know I ain't have nothing. You know, six kids and mama and a daddy and a military family, living on quarters, stacked up, you know, bunk beds, green army blankets. I remember one day I was trying to make my bed up and I moved the thing the wrong way and that stupid iron clamped my hands. I screamed. I mean, I got so sick of green, that's why it took me 20 years to buy a green car. I hated anything green because everything was green. The Jeeps are green, the clothes are green, everything's green, the hat's green, everything's green. My blanket when I went to sleep was green. And it's sticky, you know what I mean? Oh, rough wool. Military folk know what I'm talking about. And you know, so we ain't have nothing. And you know, I'd get my hand-me-downs and my little brother would get my hand-me-downs and I'd wear them until perspiration stains was too bad, we'd go wash them. And then pass it on to the next one. We ain't have nothing. I mean, we had nothing. There were times in our household, and I'm very serious about this, so I know what it's like. You can't look at me and see, and it didn't stop because I was ignorant of the word. It didn't stop when all of a sudden you got married, you got two incomes coming. It didn't stop. We lost houses. We went through hell and back until we found out how the word works. That's why I try to expedite what I teach you. And see, you can be up and out for a while, but after a while, you know, some things can happen. Sometimes it's just health. Your health don't hold up. And you ain't qualified to do that no more. Or, you know, you gotta be thankful for where you are. I didn't want to go through 6.5 years of hell. But it came to me. God didn't give it to me. The devil did that. And that's why I kick his rear end every time I get an opportunity. I ain't scared of him. I ain't scared of dying. I ain't scared of nothing no more. That's why I talk the way I do. I ain't trying to be big and bad. I just know that it don't matter. Only thing that matters is what's God got it. What's going on with God. So what do I owe thee? We owe God everything. And I don't know. I don't know. It seems like the people that really don't have nothing are the ones that's worse with this thing about giving God glory, as if you're withholding. You ain't withholding nothing but your stinky breath and your weak arms from praising the Lord. Use your mouth to praise God. Raise your hands. It might give you a little more strength. You know, you start doing something like you're exercising. Anyhow, okay. So last time we got together, I briefly said to you, and I said this on Wednesday, you can't talk your way into obedience. And I would write next to that, you must do your way into obedience. What is God telling you to do? What is God telling you to do? Don't tell me he only talks to the preachers, because that is not true. He's talking to you too. There's something that God will have you to do. And as soon as you complete that, he's going to have something else. We're going from glory to glory, faith to faith. Now, I want to go to these scriptures here. Did I tell you Deuteronomy 30? Yeah, let's go to Deuteronomy 30, and we'll look at verse number 1. I'm going to go through this again because I really feel like we've got to go back to some basics, really, when it comes to this thing about serving God. Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. Y'all still here? 30th chapter and verse number 1. Let's go there for just a moment and see what we can be able to find. And I believe you're going to enjoy what you receive, because it's practical in nature, and you'll be able to apply it to your life. That's what I love to be able to do. It says, now it shall come to pass. Say, it's coming to pass. When all these things come upon you, this is to God's people. You are God's people. You are an extension of Israel. It's like Israel was a tree, and they cut the side of the tree and stuck your limb in, and now you're receiving nutrients from really Israel, the nation of Israel. And this is why, of all people, Christians should be supporting the Jews. I know we got all this stuff going on in campuses and all this kind of stuff, but you need to know that your salvation came from a Jewish relationship that started in Israel, and so we should really support the Jews. That's not what my subject is, because a lot of times we hear a lot of politics, crazy stuff, and a lot of things about, you know, all this, and Gaza and the whole thing. I mean, I know, okay, we could talk about that, but I want to go there. But, you know, the people in Gaza should be treated right, but they shouldn't be killing the Israelites either, the children of Israel, attacking them. That's not how you get things solved. And I know it's crazy over there. Everybody's crazy. And so, but we have to be able to know that Israel is where we're planted in there. Say amen to that. So we're reading an Israeli book when we read the Old Testament. We're talking about the Jews for sure. Those were people that were in the Middle East as Jews. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel, okay? Okay, all of that is part of what we're part of, and we've got our MTS, our ministry training courses, coming up in November, and you can get some deeper understanding of these things in those classes if you get involved with those classes, to get a deeper understanding of even biblical history. So it's important for us to know that when God's talking to Israel, he really is talking to us too. Now, the Old Testament is not something we throw away just because we have the New Testament. We learn from the Old Testament also. So never say, well, that's old. And, you know, it came in somewhat with generational, you know, there's generational challenges with one generation to another. It don't make no difference. God is the God of all generations. We just had a scripture up there that Pastor Don was reading. Says he's the God of all generations. So the word is the same for all generations. So, you know, and you know, it's weird. Every generation comes on here, comes into this life, I guess, like the baby boomers started, they were it. They brought in Elvis Presley. They brought in really a whole lot of stuff. And they thought, we're the generation. Now, I think there's Generation Z. Look, I'm glad because we've run out of alphabets. But anyhow, so, there's Generation Z, and they're, we're it. And generation, you know, all the generations, they're all the same to God. Just obey him. That's all he's saying, is just obey him. So it says, it shall come to pass when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse. Please underline that. There's the blessing and there's the curse. You have to ask yourself, am I living according to the blessing of God, or am I living according to the curse? Am I living a blessed life or a cursed life? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, it's important for you to know that, because the curse does not light a light, it says in Proverbs, cause less. There is no curse that comes upon a people or a person without a cause. So if you're dealing with a cursed situation in your life, there is a cause that be, because. And so we have to grab a hold of that and say, wait a minute, I need to shut down the thing that is causing this, causing my life to be this way, causing me to be sick, causing me to go through this, causing me to be broke. There is a cause that be. Now, sometimes the causes, they come from all three areas: the soulish realm, the spiritual realm, and of course, the fleshly realm. And so we have to watch and see, am I suffering this because of something I'm doing in the physical? Do I need to drink more water? Is that the reason why I have cramps in the middle of the night in my legs? I'm dehydrated. And you can come against the devil all you want to, you need to drink some water before you go to bed. Yeah, you gotta get up and go release that water, but you need to drink the water so you don't be screaming. And some people are like, well, I need to pray, the devil is trying to get my leg. No, you need some water. Okay, that's just physical. Or is it something spiritual that, you know, the enemy is attacking you? Or is it just all in your head? It's your soulish realm, mind, will, and emotion. Now, I told you I'm the soul man, so I'm going to got to deal with the mind, renewing the mind, finding out what your will is. Is it lined up with God's will and your emotions? Are we going to live by just you crying and whining? That's what happens a lot of times. God doesn't want us to live that way. It says, and when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse, they come upon you. What's upon you? People can see the blessing. People can see fear. People can see desperation. If you're in desperation, now I'm talking about especially spiritual folks. There's a thing called, it's a gifting that God has, but not everybody has it, but there's also just a part of just being a believer in Jesus Christ that God gives us a more discernment. There's actually the gift of discerning of spirits, where you can discern what spirit a person is of. Now, you don't really ask for it. God just reveals these things. You're talking to him, and you can see. I was talking to a man the other day, and I could see the spirit of alcohol all over him. Then the Lord said, look at his face, how red it is. A lot of times, alcoholics will have a red tinge to their face. And come to find out, that's what looks like they're dealing with. Alcohol, overindulgence. And don't give me no junk about, Paul said, you know, a little wine for your stomach. You lush, you wino you. You don't need no little wine. You know what I drink? I drink at least one glass a day of cranberry juice. because I went through stomach. That's how I ended up in the hospital. Okay, so I take one glass of cranberry juice with ice and no refill, even if they're free, because there's too much sugar in it. I ain't perfect, but I do know how to stay out of a mess. So we don't need wine. We don't have to, see, and we make excuses about things, and I'm just using that as an example. Let's move on. Now, here's what it's saying, because this is important for us. It says, I set before you blessing and cursing. This is a choice. Do you know you can live any way you want to? There's people that decided, I'm not coming to that church today. And God has been screaming to them, you really need to go there. I'm not going. Well, they didn't say that, but just in their actions, they're screaming back to God saying, I ain't doing nothing. You can't tell me what, this is my body. I do what I want in my body. That don't work too well after a while. Because that body's getting old and ugly anyhow. Everything's drooping, dropping. Hello. The rest of it's sagging and bagging and creeping. You know, you can use some crepe escape. Is that what it's called, crepe escape? Get rid of all that creeping on your arms and your back of your neck and the, under your neck. I mean, you got to give it up. If you're going to just live for the flesh, you really, you got a bad way going. And we just, this is my body. Yeah, for now, but you're going to want to trade it in after a while. Because that thing starts, you know, everything starts, it's gravity. It's just gravity. Gravity starts pulling on everything. And you just can't, you know, well, I ain't going to go there. But it's just, you can't do nothing about it. And you have to realize that's because you're in the flesh. You live in a physical body, but that's not where you will stay. In fact, last week, I said to you, your body knows where to go when you did. It goes back to the earth, and your spirit and soul knows what, just how to return back to God. Amen. For some of you that don't know Jesus and are not born again, it's returning to the white throne judgment. I ain't going through it. She ain't going through it. He ain't going. None of these folks, none of y'all that's born again, you ain't going through the white throne judgment. You don't want to go through that because you have to give an account for everything you did. But when it comes to us, Jesus is just, oh, by the way, that case was canceled. I went ahead and negotiated that out of court. We don't have to worry about that no more. All the stupid stuff you did, all the stuff, stupid stuff you could ever do, Jesus just said, don't worry about that. I got that covered. I paid for that. Remember those stripes? Remember that thorn on, crown of thorns on my head? Remember the beatings? Remember stab the side? Remember on the cross, remember, die. I paid for it. So they get to go. And the rest of them stand there and say, you cannot, we cannot avoid it. You will, if you do not have Jesus Christ, you will go through the white throne judgment. And God will search the books. He's not looking for you to be able to give. You can't explain this. It ain't no sense in having no. Your attorney can't help you. At that point, Jesus can't even help you. He goes through the book. And I've heard preachers say that. I believe it's the truth. Just lightning fast, turning pages. Then close the book. Your name ain't in there. It's like what? Go join Satan in the lake. This is serious. So we want to know, we're choosing on purpose not to live in evil. Yeah. Not to live under the curse. Yeah. I am purposely living my life so that I will go to heaven. Amen. I'm going. I've been there. In the spirit, I'm going. I don't know about you. You can sit here and play with that. I have been there. You want to go. Okay? I'm telling you, even if you just like music, you want to go just to hear the music. Okay? It is just off the charts. You want to go. It's the best place on the planet. Well, it's not on the planet. It's the best place besides the planet. It is the place to go. And if I was you, I'd sell everything I had to get there. Amen. But you can't pay for it. What do I owe you? What do I owe you, Lord, for heaven? You can't pay it anyhow. You owe what Jesus paid. And if you don't take his payment for your payment, you ain't going. Now, once you take his payment, you owe him the rest of your life to not fornicate no more. Brother, have guts enough to tell her, I don't want you to do that with me no more.
Yeah, that's
right. Woo, it's getting hot up in here. Tell her, you are a sweet, nice, fine thing, but I'm more of a man of God than this.
Yeah.
I don't do that no more.
That's right. Amen.
I don't do it no more. Not until I get married. Because that's what it's for. It's supposed to be the ecstasy of marriage. Woo! Any other way is perversion. Yeah. I don't care if it's man with man, woman with woman. But use your imagination and then cast it down. I wrote the book. See, we have to realize that we choose where we end up. Don't you dare blame God or Jesus, the angels or the Holy Spirit, when you end up somewhere you never wanted to be. Now, God let me end up there, so I know what it's like to be on your way there. You don't want to go. See, death and hell goes into the lake of fire. Read your Bible, Revelation 21. Death and hell will go into the lake of fire. You think you're going to hell? No, you're going to end up in the lake of fire. Because even death and hell goes into the lake of fire. That's the second death. You ain't really died until you end up there. Now, I know I'm not preaching what everybody wants to hear, but the good news is that there's two parts to what the word says here. He said, you can be able to be living by the blessing or by the curse. That's the curse. But the first thing he told you was the blessing. Why not take what's good? Why not do everything to live that life? Listen. Okay. Do I have to say it that way? Having sex is not enough to pay the price for you to go to hell. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. This is what this whole society is dealing with. And now it's perverted sex. In the 60s and 70s, when I grew up, as a disc jockey on the radio, it's your thing, do what you want to do. I can't tell you to suck it too. Let's get it on. Baby, let's get it on. Me and Mr. Jones, we got a thing going on. That thing sent them to hell. For some of them, to an early death.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I got out of that hell. I had sense enough to quit my job that was paying me elephant dollars, money that people are looking for right now.
Yeah.
In 2025, I was making more than that in 1976 to 82. And wasn't even working a full day. Worked 4 hours, get paid for eight, you work any over that, you get a little overtime. You show up, they pay you back in 1976, $500 an hour just to show up. Over and above your salary. Now, that ain't much now, but man, back there, you could go to hell with that. Man, you was like, I think this is better than doing right for God. No, but you got to give that up. You got to say, this ain't enough. And I quit my job. I called this woman and I told her, I quit. She said, fool, what's wrong with you? I can't take it, Kathy. I just can't take it no more. I don't want to go to hell for a salary. What's wrong? I don't like the music. It's grating. It's tearing me up. I can't stand this no more. So I came home and she just looked at me. What are we gonna do? I didn't tell her, but it happened. We starved. We We literally starved. One Christmas, we could not afford Christmas presents. So this old preacher gave me a Christmas tree. We put it in our living room, and after a while, when the heat got to it, I don't know what kind of bugs these were, but all of a sudden, they started opening up their eyes. Their eyes were red with yellow. I said, Kathy, look at these bugs on this tree. What kind of Merry Christmas are we going to have with these things? What is that? She said, oh, no, look at that. I took that tree out, threw it outside. We told our two little girls, because Pastor Don wasn't there yet. We told our two little girls, we're going to have a different Christmas this year. We had no money. We're going to have a different Christmas this year. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to buy some fruit. And we're going to go to the old folks' home. And we're going to sing some songs. And we're going to give them the fruit for Christmas. They were like, cool, Daddy, we're going to have a good Christmas, huh? They were so small, they didn't know no difference. It's like, it worked, Kathy, it worked. I don't think we bought them anything that year because we couldn't afford it. And, Kathy, you bought them a little toy? Okay. Yeah, whatever it was. Okay. Don't say that. Okay. So we went through the curse, okay? Now, here's the thing about it, and I'm going to say something that's controversial right now. I know we were still tithers and givers, but it didn't seem like it was working. But it was. Because after a while, what we had been faithful over kicked in. See, because these are seeds. We plant seeds for good or for bad. Yeah. And so after a while, Danae's looking at me like, I remember that and I can't stand it. That's my little girl. But anyhow, but we went through planting seeds still. We never stopped tithing and giving. We always did that. And God eventually would take us through situations. I mean, I remember I talked about earlier about your car being jacked up. You know what I saw? Our car being jacked up. Because there was a time when we didn't have the money to pay the car payment. And I told them we didn't have the money to pay the car payment. They said, okay, all right, thank you. They didn't say we're going to send a trailer out there while y'all sleep. And you're going to hear, ting, 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 ting. I said to my, Kathy said, you think they're going to come and try to get the car? I said, they can't get that car. I got the brakes on. How can they get the car? I woke up, walked out there with my pajamas on. What you doing? Well, Mr. Shorter, we have an order right here. Ting, 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 ting. My car was going backwards, kicking and screaming, said, don't you care? Don't you help me? They're going to take me. They put the thing, I mean, ting, 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 strapped it down. Good day, sir. Hey, we're gone. We never saw that car again. But that's all right. God is good. Somehow I got a hold of a little car called a GLC. A great little car. I'm making a point now. I'm preaching the gospel. Curse or blessing? We got a GLC. It's called Great Little Car by Mazda. Y'all don't remember this car because it was too long ago. And that car didn't have a clutch. So the clutch was being worn out. So we had to park always on a hill. either this way or that way, so that when we got ready to go, we would all go woof together. I think you remember that, yeah. One, two, three. And the movement, the inertia of us making movement in the car would start the car rolling backwards or forward, wherever we were. And our little driveway was on a little hill. And so we always got out of the driveway. And we go, I said, come on now, let's go, let's go. There we go. Pop. We gone down the street just like everybody else. Only problem, sometimes I would forget to park on a hill. And I'm in trouble. It was a GLC. Now, I had that car when we started this ministry. Because I quit my job like a fool. See, I should have went to another station that didn't play nasty music. But I thought, I'm going to serve God. I'm quitting everything. I ain't doing nothing but what God told me to do. I'm going to preach the gospel. Yeah. But after a period of time, one of the congregation members saw us going like this. What was that? Of course. One of the congregation members saw us doing that, saying, we need to get to past that church, a car. She worked at a rental car dealer place. She negotiated for 3 weeks because our credit was so bad. And said, we got your car. They'll let you rent it, and then you can buy it after you rent it for a while. See, we started with what we had. It's not like I didn't know how to make music, make money. It's just that I wanted to be obedient to what God had called me to do. And you know what? Our seeds started coming up. And pretty soon, blessings were overflowing. God had blessed our lives. Different things. People that I had worked with in the ministry, in the media, started calling me and asking me to do voiceovers, paying me all kinds of money just to do voiceovers for commercials, and all kinds of stuff started going. All the kinds of, the church started growing. People started seeing what's happening. God just canceled debt for us. All kinds of things was going on all over the place. Because he needs the preacher to be some kind of example in every way. I know how to be abound, how to bound, and I know how to be abased. I didn't go get drunk. I didn't cuss my kids out. I didn't go steal, rob a bank. All I did was use my faith. I ain't saying I'm great, because we all can do it. Used my faith, kept paying my tithes and offerings, kept doing the consistent thing that I needed to do to serve God. We kept going to church. We were teaching youth at the time. We were youth pastors at the time at another church. We were teaching them. We didn't tell them we're broke, busted, and disgusted, and that we ain't got no money, because we believed God was not going to leave us like that. And now many of those kids we see on the street, they thank us for just being there as good, strong leaders. They don't know what we were going through while we were lost our house because I didn't have a job anymore. Had to move out of the house. The builder had stole our money anyhow. See, you got to understand. You got to understand. God knows how to deal with that. Because after a period of time, I started investing in real estate. I went to learn how to not be a real estate salesman, but to learn how to invest in it. I started leveraging and flipping. And before they was flipping, before they had flipping channels on the home channel, doing all that kind of stuff. But our children watched this, and that's why they're faithful. They saw that. See, it's the whole house. That's why they love God, because they know no matter what you go through, God's going to take you through. He's going to bring you out. Come on, say amen to that. We got flipping houses. I got someone involved with real estate investment. They tell me when this property came up for sale, we had the first $5,000 down on this property that you're sitting on right now. Actually, it was the adjacent property as well. We put the money first down, and we didn't go to congregation. We met with the man on a Saturday afternoon. That Saturday evening, we gave that man a check for $5,000. That was good. to be able to bless this church, to buy this property, to tie it up because somebody else wanted it. But God had blessed us and blessed me with the abilities to know how to be able to leverage property and to be able to buy and buy with zero down and all this kind of stuff and flipping and to be able to rent properties. We had rental, had 8 or 10 rentals at any given time and flipping them and selling them. Hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars. And that's how we were able to do that. Because I waited for the real estate agents that were in our congregation to help me. They never did. I don't know why, but they never did. Maybe they didn't know how to help me. But this is how we got to where we are here today. I'm talking about my wife and I. And you're going to have to go on your own journey. The one thing I didn't do is to choose the curse. Say, forget this tithing. Forget this church going. I'm sick of this. God ain't no good. Look what he did to me. I'm sick of this. I did not do that. I stayed obedient. And I'm not worshiping me. I'm saying, I'm just telling you what I did. Because maybe some of you want to do it. I just stayed consistent even when things were tough. Because there is the blessing and there is a curse. And he says here, I'm going to read this last part. And he says here in this 30th chapter, this first verse still, it says, blessing and the curse which I have set before you. And you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you. And you return to the Lord. Say, return to the Lord. Say, return to the Lord. Some of you need to return just in your mind. Return to the Lord your God and obey his voice. Say, obey his voice. According to all that I command you today, you and your children with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God bring you back from captivity, out of that debt, out of that problem, out of that situation, out of that legal thing that you're dealing with, out of that marriage that's falling to pieces, and have compassion on you and gather you again from all nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the farthest part, you way out there under heaven, from there, the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed. You're getting the stuff that you there's inheritances in this year of restoration that you have lost that God's bringing back, that even your relatives had, your grandpa had, and it, they stole it from him. It's coming back to you in Jesus' name. Because you were in his loins. You're their offspring. And God is saying, he's going to bring you back from where you were scared. If any of you have been driven out to farther parts of heaven, then from there, the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. You shall possess it. And you shall possess it. And he will prosper you. I said he will prosper you. I said he will prosper you. Is this boring to you? Give it to me then. I'll take it. You don't want it? He shall prosper you. He's not going to keep you broke. You can't obey God and stay busted, disgusted. He is going to prosper you. Say, God, here I am, serving you. Do it. Prosper me. Prosper me. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. God will bless you. You're supposed to be doing better than your parents did. I'm looking for my children are in many ways blessed in a lot of ways that I have not been blessed. And I'm not jealous of that. I'm thankful for it. I look at their lives and I'm just blessed by it. I am. I'm blessed by it. I thank God for it. They got favor on them. And there's nothing wrong with it. Stop competing with your kids. Kids, stop competing with your parents. Bless your children. Help your children. Help your parents. You sitting there watching them suffer. Give them some money. I ain't say pray for them. I said give them some money. Give them parents some money. Help them out. Be a blessing to them. Stop cursing your parents. You came out of them. You curse them, you curse yourself. You need to support your parents. Love your mom. Take care of your mom and dad. You should take care of your family. You should take care of your children. You should want your children to do well. I want my children to do well. I love all my children. I want my grandchildren to do even better. I want them smoking. I got one grandson right now. He's in business at 16 years old doing international business. After school, he fulfills his orders for stuff he designs, that God gives him the idea of what to design the clothing like. Huh? I ain't bragging. I'm just telling you a fact you may not know. And do you think I'm mad? Boy, you need to go sit down. What you trying to do? You're trying to get mannish again. That's right. One of our grandchildren just finished a commercial, a worldwide international commercial, as a model for the Shell Oil Company. She's a model. She used to be the fit model in Seattle for Nordstrom. They put the clothes on her and decide if they're going to buy them for all the stores all over the world. See, now, I'm not just talking stuff. One of the other ones, it was a model for Eddie Bauer and for what was the other, Amazon, all kinds. God wants to bless your children. Your children will bless you if you treat them right. I remember Dr. Betty, I'm going to close with this. Dr. Betty told our first lady, said, you need to take care of them kids. They get old. They remember. I remember Cheryl Price said, we grow up. And we remember. And so you need to remember that your children grow up. They remember. Treat them nice. Treat them well. Tell them the truth. Tell them when you made a mistake. And sometimes you need to apologize. I didn't know how to live this life right at the time. Would you forgive me for the hell I took us through? I'm sorry. Let them know that you're human too. And allow them to be able to grow and be able to look at you and say, well, my mom and dad, they're just people just like anybody else, but they got faith. They're not Superman, and neither are you. So we need to live this thing right, right? There's a blessing, not a curse. We're going to finish this one day. We're going to stay on this. What do you owe God? You owe him everything. Look what he's doing. He's the one prospering you. Do you know how many times he probably sat in that boardroom talking about getting rid of your department? Getting rid of your store? As everybody tried to downsize? And don't get mad at the government. It's God that causes you to have that source of income. And government is not your job. I mean, not your God. It's just your job. And people get all mad. Well, they're cutting the government back. Well, good. Maybe you'll find something better. You don't need to rely on the government like that's God. And you don't need to rely on your degree as if that's God. But if you lose the ability to use that degree, God's still with you. He'll take care of you. I rest my case. Did you get something out of this? Let's make a confession. Stand up. We're going to make a confession. Let's make a confession right now. Say, God, I am a child of obedience. I am living to be obedient to you. Today, let the records in heaven show that I made a decision to live in the blessing and avoid the curse. And I know, God, that takes obedience. So, God, I commit my obedience to you. I will follow you. Test me. Allow me to hear your voice so that I can follow you, that you'll see that you can use me to follow you. God, forgive me for the things I've done wrong. Forgive me for questioning your provision, questioning your desire for me, or even your care for me. Forgive me, God, for ever thinking I could do this by myself. There's no way I could do this by myself. You are God Almighty. I give you reverence, honor, thanksgiving, and praise. Right now, I ask you to ever be in my mind, be in my heart, reminding me that it is you that causes me to get wealth. It's your power working in me. God, thank you for doing all this for me. I will not forget it, and I will share it with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Clap your hands, everybody. Let's thank God. You are on your way to recovery of much of what the enemy has stolen from you. Father, I seal this time in Jesus' name. I cancel the assignment of the enemy to come and try to take it. He's already been canceled, and I just affirm that again, and I thank you, Father, for